What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And for those of you watching on YouTube, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire, who likes to join us on our second hour every Friday with her unique perspective on the world. So I'm already going to take a guess what your first story is going to be, because we teased it during hour number
yes,
one.
Yes, and thank you, Michael. Good to be here with you, as always, and our listeners and our viewers. This is the censored Biden story that forced Glenn Greenwald to quit the firm he co-founded. Now, this appears via Glenn Greenwald's Substack. I am posting here the most recent draft of my article about Joe and Hunter Biden, the last one seen by Intercept editors before telling me that they were going to refuse to publish it absent major structural changes involving the removal of all sections critical of Joe Biden, leaving only a narrow article critiquing media outlets. I will also, in a separate post, publish all communications I had with Intercept's editors surrounding this article so you can see the censorship in action, and given the Intercept's denials, decide for yourself if this is the kind of transparency responsible journalists do provide today, and which the Intercept refuses to this day to provide regarding their conduct in the Reality Winner story. This draft obviously would have gone through one more round of proofreading and editing by me to shorten it, fix typos, etc. But it is very important that the integrity of the claims to publish the draft in unchanged form that Intercept editors saw and announced they would not edit but completely gut as a condition to publication. An attempt to assess the importance of the known evidence and a critique of media lies to protect their favorite candidate could not be published at The Intercept. You know, Mike, when Glenn was there, I felt that I could absolutely trust anything that came out of The Intercept.
And I agree.
You know, and frequently he would be featured with various private, independent political blogs. But after this, I can't link to them anymore. I don't know if it's real.
No, we don't. We certainly know it's being filtered here.
Yeah.
And The Intercept violated their contract with Glenn Greenwald, which guaranteed him, independence and content control over his work. And of course, everyone remembers Glenn Greenwald as the driving force behind getting Edward Snowden's story out there.
Right, right.
So he's definitely got the name value and the credentials. Now, we have this article actually linked to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. It's a very long article if you want to read it. This is a major story. And it's like Matt Taibbi said the other day, the Biden scandal is bad enough, but the suppression of the story has become the real scandal in all of this.
Yes. And because of how he did what he did here, I mean, Mike, that is a level of intellectual and spiritual integrity you don't find much anymore.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if I was in his place, I would have done exactly the same thing.
Yeah. And this man, because of what he's done, is going to have my undying respect forever. I mean, I'm serious. And if he starts another blog, I will make sure that people see his articles, the What Really Happened readers.
Yes.
Now, this is hysterical. Biden campaign is now accusing Facebook of favoring Trump after glitch takes down thousands of ads. Now, Facebook did announce last month that it would bar new political ads from being run on its platform during the week of the election, as part of CEO Mark Zuckerberg's effort to signal to Democratic lawmakers that the company was taking its role as a guardian of democracy. Let me roll that back. Guardian of democracy, my astrolabe.
No, guardian of the Democrats.
Yes. Okay. Hello. There you go. Barring new ads.
That's a typo. Yeah.
Barring new ads during the final week of the campaign seemed more like a Kafkaesque nuisance rather than a sensible tactic to try and cut down on mudslinging and misinformation associated with the election. And since no half-hearted attempt at virtue signaling goes unpunished, Facebook is now facing backlash from Joe Biden's campaign, which has accused the company of favoring President Trump after thousands of Joe Biden ads were inexplicably blocked. Mike, I mean, I love the smell of irony in the afternoon.
Oh, I absolutely do.
Oh, my goodness.
I absolutely do here.
And here's more from the FT, Financial Times. Facebook has mistakenly blocked thousands of Joe Biden advertisements from appearing on its platform with just days to go until the U.S. presidential election, according to the Democratic Challengers campaign, as the company struggles to implement its latest policy to combat misinformation. Yesterday evening, Biden's campaign said that many of its Facebook advertisements were still not appearing on the site after the social media company attempted to clamp down on new political ads in the final stretch of the campaign. Now, Facebook blamed the glitches on unanticipated issues, brushing off suggestions that they were evidence of bias toward the campaign of President Donald Trump or the Republicans.
Well, Facebook has a bias, but it's definitely not toward Trump.
No, definitely not. Now, Mike, do you remember when Ma Bell, the Bell telephone company, got smashed into 1,000 little pieces?
Yes, the baby bells.
Yeah, the baby bells, and made prices a little bit more competitive?
Yes.
Oh, I can just see the moaning and gnashing of teeth with the execs at Facebook, Twitter, etc., when the congressional hearings about breaking up these platforms happen if Trump, in fact, is reelected.
Well, that's why they're in a panic.
Of course. And depending on the makeup of this incoming Congress, such a demand for hearings may well take on a life of its own. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. You know, these large mega social media corporations, had they been treating their users with a fair and even hand, would not be in this mess. But with the very obvious bias they showed, not just in 2016, but certainly much more intensely here in 2020, a lot of people are very upset with what they're doing. Now, what was interesting during the Senate hearings is the Republicans were in high dudgeon over the very obvious bias and censorship. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats, of course, thought this was all hunky-dory because obviously the bias and censorship favored them as well.
Right.
But we do know that YouTube has already been served regarding a possible antitrust lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Google is in the crosshairs as well. Mm-hmm. And if Trump does win re-election, we may very well see these companies get broken up into a bunch. And then they'll have to sort out the mess about common carrier traffic and sharing results across the network.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time these billionaire CEOs understood that they're running a public service and that they're really not able to use that service to enforce their particular political views on the public. Mm-hmm. Now, in my view, all of this represents in-kind contributions to Joe Biden's campaign, which may run afoul of campaign finance laws.
Absolutely. I'd like to talk a little bit about the situation in France. The France beheading terrorist is revealed to be a boat migrant who arrived via Italy.
Now, this let's go for those open borders.
Oh, right. The terrorist who beheaded a woman and killed two others near a church in Nice, France, has been revealed to be a Tunisian boat migrant who arrived on the Mediterranean island of Lampedusa last month. Now, the attack followed the beheading of Samuel Paté earlier this month, a school teacher who was targeted as part of a revenge attack for showing cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad to pupils in a class about free speech. And it's now been confirmed, Mike, that the jihadist in Nice who yelled Allahu Akbar during the attack arrived in Europe as a boat migrant. Now, he entered France from Italy, traveling through the southern Italian city of Bari on 9 October, after reaching the Mediterranean island of Lampedusa on 20 September. And this is from Sky News.
Yes.
Now, he was carrying an Italian Red Cross identity document and a bag containing two unused knives. Other sources named the terrorists as Brahim A., saying that he was rescued by an Italian rescue boat on 20 September and placed in quarantine due to COVID. Mike, I'm looking at this just aghast. And how long will it take before Europe realizes that this open border policy is going to cause more assassinations against innocent Europeans?
Well, I'm sure the people of Europe already understand this. Yeah. I mean, the people of Sweden have seen their country turn into a high crime cesspool because of this open border immigration. And remember, migration is a filtering process. Well, in their home countries tend to stay there. And what you get coming across that border are people who are not doing well, and they're being lured with promises of free stuff from these liberal democratic governments. They're fleeing prosecution. They're seeking free medical care for highly contagious diseases they're carrying. When you bring the third world into your country will become third world. And that's exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
And I know that there is a growing anti-immigrant movement all across Europe. But the globalists and their puppets in the national governments in the EU are trying to put it down and saying, oh, you're being Islamophobic and, you know, you can't be anti-Islamic. And just because one Muslim has cut off the head of this teacher is no reason to be worried about any other Muslims, which I wish they would say the same thing about the police. Yeah. In this country, where just because one cop has shot a black man is no reason to hate and defund all the police departments.
Right.
But apparently there's a double standard at work there.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most classic definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and yet expecting a different outcome. I mean,
absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely.
And as to the cartoons, what I've seen, they are nasty and repugnant.
I agree.
But if they had substituted Jesus for Muhammad, I would have the same reaction to
them.
Actually,
Charlie Hebdo has gone after all kinds of religious figures, not just Muhammad, including Jesus. And yes, the cartoons are offensive. Yeah. And I'm not even a religious person, but I think the cartoons are in very, very poor taste. And frankly, after all the ruckus that Charlie Hebdo has caused, I'm surprised they're still in business. I have to wonder about the mindset of people who actually buy that magazine off the newsstand.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have found something like that, substituting Jesus, very repugnant.
Yes.
But do you honor your faith by killing someone just because of their ethnicity or faith, who had absolutely nothing to do with creating the cartoons? Now, the founder of one utopian communal American society made the observation. The guy's name was Elbert Hubbard. My late dad had a book of his writings, and he had some beautiful things to say. If you want someone on your side of the river, you don't throw them in, pull them up on the other side, and expect them to be grateful. You build a bridge, and you gently walk with them to the other side, convincing them with gentleness and logic. And not all Muslims are violent. I've met many who are lovely human beings.
So have I.
And came to this country for the exact same reason that our ancestors did.
Disneyland.
No, to be able to work, to be able to be free from prosecution because of their particular religious beliefs. But I've got to tell you, Mike, what I pray for as a Christian is a true 21st century renaissance for the Muslim faith, which causes them, even if they are offended by something, to realize that revenge killing is utterly the wrong answer here. And looking at something where they may have substituted Jesus for Muhammad, I would not like it. But I think I have the spiritual horse sense to understand. I do not honor my understanding of my God by attempting to kill someone. Revenge is one of the most base human emotions, and for a society to both evolve and not unravel at the seams, people have to have a reasonable understanding of this.
Absolutely.
And you covered this earlier in the show.
Remember what Gandhi said? An eye for an eye, and
a tooth for a tooth,
and soon the world is blind and toothless.
Yes. You covered this earlier about the alleged PKK, Workers' Party Protection Unit, supporting Armenian forces. Now, the article that I had said that Mr. Putin said, I haven't heard of it.
Okay.
And if Putin says he doesn't know something, that something just may not exist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we've got release tracks that show that Turkish warplanes deployed in Azerbaijan are providing air cover for the Bayraktar TB2 drone striking Armenian positions, while the Turkish Aerial Command post circulating in Turkish airspace near the conflict zone coordinates the entire operation. Now, according to Armenia, this was planned and carried out with deep involvement of Turkish military specialists. Mm-hmm. Under the pressure of evidence, the Azerbaijani side has already admitted the presence of Turkish specialists and military equipment on its territory. Now, the last step toward getting toward a reality here would be for the Azerbaijani leadership to confirm that these Turkish elements are involved with combat.
Yes.
On October 28th and 29th, forces of the Turkish Azerbaijani bloc were conducting intensive strikes on Sushi, Stepanakert, the two largest towns in Nagorno-Karabakh. Apparently, several airstrikes even hit the maternity section of the hospital in Stepanakert. Now, some sources even speculated that these strikes were delivered by F-16 warplanes. F-16, does that ring a bell, Mike?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's an American jet, fighter jet. And
it's a top seller.
Okay. But on the other hand, the Armenians have demonstrated they're not much better. They shelled the Azerbaijani town of Barda, killing at least 21 and wounding 70. Now, the Turkish-Azerbaijani shelling of settlements in towns in Nagorno-Karabakh is a logical result of its attempt to move Armenians from the region. Therefore, the strikes are not only to hit at military targets, Mike, they're also to displace the local population.
Yes.
And meanwhile, the Armenian retaliation in a similar manner rarely has real military goals, but rather it helps Ankara and Baku to gain some evidence to confirm its propaganda narrative about Armenian terrorism. These actions contribute to the further escalation of the conflict and weaken any hopes for any kind of diplomatic resolution. Mike, your thoughts here?
Well,
how far is this going to go?
Somebody somewhere is keeping this thing going because the last ceasefire lasted just 1 hour.
Yeah.
You could have clocked that one with an egg timer here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you just can't help but hear the war drums beating in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
you sort of have to wonder when things will really explode nearly globally, because I think that's really close to where we are.
They're going to explode here after the election, and mm-hmm. who knows, there may be a cascade or domino effect, you know, into other regions as well.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of war spillover, apparently Turkish and Azeri mobs are hitting the streets looking for Armenians in France. Now, we've had these latest terrorist killings, and France is just reeling from this. And now it's got incredible free speech traditions as a secular republic versus Muslim immigrant outrage over negative depictions of Muhammad in French media. And they've grabbed the headlines, but there are other disturbing trends which have not received so much attention, suggesting that the violence looks to grow. And apparently this week there have been reports of clashes between Turkish Azeri demonstrators and Armenians on the streets of France. Now, on Wednesday, multiple videos circulated widely on social media that appear to show Muslim Turks and Azeris hunting down Armenian Christians. And in a Twitter post by Alison Muse, she wondered out loud the following. What if they had been yelling, "Where are you, Jews? Where are you, Blacks?"
Would be ugly. It would definitely be ugly.
But my bigger question here is, and I'm calling you out on this, the Muslims of both the French Sunni and Shiite Muslim faith traditions, is this what you have been teaching your followers in the 21st century? That the murder of innocents who had nothing to do with this conflict is something Allah wants to see happen?
Okay, we'll be back after these few words.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit, lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
Welcome back to our show here. And Claire, I know you wanted to pick up and complete this story.
Yeah, I do. And I have to wonder, because imams are very powerful in the Muslim culture.
Yes, they are.
Aren't there a few of these guys, and they're primarily guys, except a few in Western China who are ladies, by the way?
Yes.
Are there no imams preaching peace and tolerance in 21st century France? And I've got to tell you where I'm coming from. When faith mandates revenge against the innocent, that, in my world, is faith that has been turned on its head.
Well, let's be a little bit fair here, because remember, I think it was Pope Innocent III that invented the idea of holy war, otherwise known as jihad.
Oh,
killing in the name of God.
I know. It's not exclusive.
No, it isn't. But the Muslims sort of copied the idea. It's not like they came up with it on their own.
No. Okay. But that was faith turned on its head in
it
my
absolutely
world.
Was.
Were I the head of French national security right now, I would be talking to some of the most influential imams I could find in France and ask them, for the sake of all French citizens and immigrants who are having a tough time, because going from Middle East, Africa, Europe, it's a culture shock. It's tough. But I'm hoping that some of these imams will entreat their congregations at Friday prayers to find other ways than violence to express their anger and upset. And as we said earlier, Gandhi said it, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and suddenly everyone becomes both blind and toothless. We go now to the...
I'm nearsighted, by the way. Okay.
Apparently now, UK cops will have the power to raid lockdown rule-defying Christmas celebrations. And apparently...
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Yeah. And apparently, local mayors are battling with the UK's central government over the terms of anti-COVID lockdown measures. And local police chiefs are warning that Britons may be in store for a holiday season distinctly reminiscent of Red Terror. Several police chiefs warned that family Christmas celebrations could be broken up by intruding officers if households are found to have violated the lockdown rules. And
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, right. David Jameson, who is the commissioner of the West Midlands Police, said officers will now be compelled to investigate reports of rule breaking over the festive period. Since the West Midlands is currently under Tier 2 restrictions, meaning that people cannot mix with anyone out of their own household or bubble. I don't know what the bubble is.
Well, that's okay. I really can't stand my in-laws anyway, so...
Stop it.
Yes, dear.
Thank you. Speaking to the Telegraph, Jameson said, I think there is large groups of people planning on gathering where there shouldn't be, and police will have to intervene. If there is flagrant breaking of the rules, then the police have to enforce the law. And Mike, upon reading this, I think that I'm on the verge of buying that T-shirt we've all been seeing that says, make Orwell fiction again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great... We do seem to be there.
Yeah.
And it's like, especially here in Santa Claus, Indiana, this attack on Christmas is going to have severe negative repercussions. It's certainly going to hurt our local economy.
Yeah, definitely. This is so draconian and dystopian in the extreme. I don't know just how much more the Brits are going to be able to take in terms of this governmental interference in their private lives.
Well, we're already seeing anti-lockdown riots starting to spread all over Europe.
And particularly when the WHO has now distanced itself from lockdowns being the primary way to control the virus. There are moments when I have to wonder if this isn't some kind of a grand social experiment with how much people can take of extreme government suppression, and how well lockdowns make people feel more emotionally vulnerable to government propagandas of all types. Mike, what do you think?
I think it's probably having the opposite effect. I mean, to judge by a lot of the phone calls and emails that we get for this radio show, people are basically turning against the official story on COVID-19, some of them quite vehemently. And so I speculated the other day that the lockdowns may be an experiment to see how much the government can get away with ahead of locking us down for reasons other than COVID-19, like rioting in the streets and so forth.
Yeah. And there was an anonymous article written by someone in Australia, Melbourne. And they were talking about having been locked down for 3 months.
Yes.
And just with their partner, but just the emotional toll of this distancing.
I understand divorces are going up from couples that are being forced to spend that much time together.
I guess we're lucky in that regard.
I still love you, by the way.
I still love you too, sweetheart. Right. You know, and we're together almost 24/7. I mean, the time
that we're
not together is very limited, very few and far between.
We're going to take another break for commercials. And when we come on back, we're going to open the phone line. So we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Women. Welcome back to our show here, and we're going to go ahead and take a phone call from Sebastian in Sweden. Hello, Sebastian. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Yes, hello, Mike. How are you and Claire doing today?
We're doing wonderful.
I just wanted to comment with Claire. She brought up the thing in what happened in France, and today, I think it was, that the French foreign minister came out, or the interior minister came out and said that more or less they're going to declare war on these radical Islam, but all of Islam. He came out and said that today. So okay. It's really getting, and now they have the military on the streets in France. They have the highest alert. And if you've ever been to France and seen the military, they have a special section just to help the police. And they, you know, they have really heavy weapons, machine guns. And I've seen them in action before when I was in Paris in the 70s, 69. So I know how they are. They're nothing to play around with. So it's getting serious. It's spreading everywhere, and the thing of it is it's freedom of speech, and they can't have their religion and have freedom of speech too. I don't think they can. It's not a coexistence. There's no way that they can coincide with each other. So things are really getting bad. And really, real quick, with the election, I hope pray everything goes good on Tuesday and that the streets are quiet-ish anyway. I don't think they're going to be completely quiet, but and I'm really worried that it's going to, you know, be violence in America. And I hope people get out and vote for Trump. It could be the very last stand for any Western civilization.
I agree.
So it's really and truly important. That's all I had to say, and I hope everyone out there listening and has okay, and take care of yourselves. And
all right, we will. And thank you for the kind words, and thank you very much for the phone call. And we're going to go back to Claire, and she has a story with kind of a little personal connection here.
Yes. The issue of lockdowns is very personal, especially when you have someone older and they can't see family because of the lockdown. And, you know, the people inside the facility can't be visited. I've got a family member living in an assisted living facility in Santa Cruz, and it's been over 4 months since she has been allowed to see her family. She's 90, living alone since my cousin died, and she's got advanced Parkinson's. Now, this woman may die in lockdown without ever seeing her four adult kids again. Mike, since when is this humane?
It's not humane at all, and it's affecting a lot of people. I mean, just over in Evansville, the assisted living facility where Claire's mother is living, they just locked down again because somebody over there tested positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of voices speaking up saying that the psychological and emotional damage from this enforced isolation is actually more harmful than the COVID-19 virus. I mean, if you really think about how few people are actually dying of COVID-19, most of the people who get it, some are asymptomatic. Most, it's like a bad cold or a flu. And the tiny percentage of people who get COVID-19 who are actually dying had other medical issues as well that probably were limiting their future life as well. And I think more needs to be done for these people who are just basically shut in and locked down, because 4 months without human contact with your own kids, to me, that almost seems like cruel and unusual punishment for somebody who has not actually committed a crime of any kind.
Yeah. Got a couple more callers.
Yes, we do. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I think that what we have is a connotation. It's like the word agenda. Somebody in the local, county GOP leadership said, "You have an agenda." And I said, "Yes, I'm completely open and honest about it." Is that what you have a problem with, is that I'm being open and honest about how some people have an agenda that is not open and honest, like politicians? So the thing is that the word military, I've been watching this TV series called Leverage. It's about this team of, basically they go after, they're in a way they're criminals, but they're criminals who have a team that goes after bad guys to basically swindle them and do right by the people that they swindled or otherwise mistreated. I don't know if you've heard of the TV series, but in one episode they were going after this militia group, and they make it out as though we're anti-government, which is absurd. We're accountable to government. All we have to insist on is, just as we're accountable to you, you got to be accountable to us. And that is,
yes,
stop taking us for a bunch of idiots. So the thing is, I put the word lawful in front of the word militia to be clear. We're not talking about a bunch of idiots with guns. That does not constitute a militia. There's five, I think I've gone through this before, but I'm going to repeat it. Informed, organized, trained, disciplined, and equipped. And the Second Amendment is not the first reference to the militia in the U.S. Constitution. It says that that Congress is to make sure that the militia is disciplined. It has to be disciplined in order for it to be a militia, because otherwise you have a bunch of lawless yahoos. And that's one of the very core rules, is the militia can't, you got to get it across to individuals. Don't act on your own, unless you're in a situation where you have to do what you do to survive,
Yes. Well, you're talking about the organized militia.
Yeah, and that's where we the people are the militia, and if a person chooses not to bear arms, and it's like, look, you can still have a function, you're still, you know, part of the network, you're still there holding the government accountable, or at least calling for accountability. And if we call for accountability and nothing happens, well, at least people know that the system we have and the system we're supposed to have are two different things. And that's where what we actually have is a plutocratic oligarchy, and the goal is to reinstate the rule of law, which is what the Greek word republic is. Actually, the Greek word is politon, and it got translated into the Latin as res publica, which means that which pertains to the people. It means the rule of law. And Plato was very clear, we're not supposed to have a democracy. It, you know, people, when people use the word democracy as a political platitude, what they mean is that people should have a say. And when people have a say, it needs to be, ideally, it should be people being properly informed, or at least bad ideas being exposed for what they are, you know, false accusations being seen for what they are and revealed as such. Because lies are only going to have power when people believe them. And that's what people need to understand, is the idea that we're supposed to have a democracy. We have a democratic process, but we're not going to have a republic until the people, I don't know, I don't want it to come to violent revolution any more than you do. But that's the question, is how do we get back to a proper republic when the one thing the government just refuses to do is to come clean, that this scamdemic, you know, all of a sudden 98% of the people stopped dying of the regular seasonal flu, which is nonsense.
Yes.
People have died of the seasonal flu this year like any other year, but they're attributing it to COVID-19 for, you know, monetary reasons or whatever their motivation is. But they're, you know, for whatever reason, they're saying this is COVID-19 novel coronavirus. But from what I'm gathering, there's a growing number of people all around the world that are really getting tired of this nonsense. And we're I for one am tired of people being told that they need to wear a mask. You know, the thing I'm sympathetic with, I mean, here in Georgia, the word has gotten out, they can't legally enforce it for the clientele, but they do enforce it as a condition of employment. Too often is you've got to wear a mask to work wherever. And so that's one thing that people need to be aware of, is that there needs to be a legal means of saying, you can't make me wear a mask that is endangering my health, because what the corporate headquarters need to get through to them. Throughout the union, I think it's fairly common that there's a statute in place that no place of business can be held accountable for somebody contracting COVID-19. But you can't say the same thing of pleurisy or other illnesses begotten of the bad policy of wearing masks that are not medically beneficial. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I was out at Six Flags, and one of their head honchos out there I said, you need to put on your mask. I put it on over my mouth. No, you got to put it over your nose. And he didn't listen to a word I said. When I tried to get across to him, all the scientific tests show that wearing masks doesn't benefit people. It doesn't prevent the spread of disease. Well, we're following CDC. And he talked all over me. And I said, you're not listening to me at all. And I couldn't get across to him. It's like, I'm one of the people paying your salary. And so, you know, I looked on their website, and they had the policy that you can wear an acrylic face shield instead of wearing a mask. And when I met him later, I said, of course, this meets with your approval. He said, yeah, no problem. You don't want to wear a mask, then you can wear an acrylic face shield. And I look at that as somewhat of a, I really don't want to do this either. But this is, that's one of the lesser of two evils that I'm willing to put up with. You know, typically I use it when I'm like running my angle grinder or like that, where I don't want to get sparks flying in my face.
Good idea.
That's why I bought the thing in the first place. But if it keeps me from having to wear a stupid, ill-advised mask, and I took one of the masks that I was issued by the Census Bureau, and I modified it where I could put, you know, basically took the strap that goes around the ears, and I cut it and then attached it on the backside with a rubber band, and I wrote on it, why comply with lies? You know, when I'm wearing a mask, I'm sitting, getting across a message, and then the word scamdemic, because that's what this thing is. But properly spelled, it's scamdemic with a dollar sign, just like science spelled with a dollar sign, meaning it's called something even though it's not authentic. Because what people need to understand is there's no way this fraud could have been perpetrated without the international bankers. I trust you are aware of the great
A lot of people were in on this. There was a lot of money being made. A lot of misinformation, and what we're seeing around the world is the general populations are basically straining at the leash. They're tired of the face masks. They're tired of social distancing. We're hearing all of this research coming on out, even from the CDC itself, that none of this stuff really works all that well. It's just window dressing to reassure the people that the government is doing something about this problem, which may not have been that big a problem after all, because remember there was that revelation that came on out that the initial estimates of fatalities from COVID-19 was based on a math error, and they made it 10 times higher than it actually turned out to be. And so they sort of created this fake terror, and then they, for political reasons, said, we have to act like we're doing something to deal with it, so we'll have social distancing and we'll have the masks. Neither of which really worked, but it looks good, especially coming up to an election. And I think once next week's election is over, we're going to see this whole COVID-19 thing fade away pretty rapidly.
I wish that were true. I don't know if are you familiar with Jeremy Hammond? He's been writing articles. He's basically refuting the Zionist narrative. He's also, you know, the same thing to clarify, it's not the problem. The vaccines would not be a problem if the vaccine industry were accountable for the harm they do. But he recently came out with an article explaining that the claim that there is no isolated virus, that's not really true. They have isolated it. It all depends on where you direct your screening. So the thing is that if you look hard enough, you see that they have isolated it. But that does not mean that the PCR test is valid, because it has a lot of false positives, which means why are you even bothering with this test? And that's one thing I'd like to see. I guess the thing is that sometimes an analysis needs to be done of how many articles have come out where they talk about all these cases, and do they ever disclose at all? Or do they just get around to it? It's like, here's a 3-page report or 5-page report, and only in the last sentence or two, or towards the very end, it tells you, oh yeah, 98% of the cases turn out to be asymptomatic. And I'm like, yeah, don't bother.
Well, that information should be in the abstract to the article here. But getting on back, the PCR test is not a diagnostic test. It never has been. Even the inventor of the PCR. Which he won a Nobel Prize for that. And even he has gone public saying it is not intended for diagnostic use. The only really accurate test is an antibodies test.
Yeah, and even then, the thing is, they have not been honest about a lot of things, like there's a lot more people that are going to die because of the unfolding economic collapse than because of the disease.
Yeah.
And that's what's the real problem, is they don't know how to own up to having lied to us. So,
well, they never do. They never do. Mark, listen.
We
don't. Mark, I'm going to have to let you go. We're running short on time. We got callers waiting on the line that I really want to get to. And we're going to go to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. What's on your mind?
Hey, that was an excellent call, he made some great points. And I called up to say something about immigration, but it relates to what that gentleman was saying as well. Again, I want to say that we have been when I go to France or Sweden, where all your other caller was from, I like to see Swedish culture. I like to see French culture. I like to go to Germany.
Yeah.
I like to go to England. I don't like to go to Pakistan. If I want to go to Pakistan, I go to Pakistan. But that's what you get when you go to London, and you get Tunisia when you go to France, and That's just in Sweden. You get, you know, the Maghreb. We are being systematically attacked by the overlords of everything, the bankers, the people who oversee everything, the Zionist bankers who, and you can accomplish anything, Mike. I'll say it again. If you can print money out of nothing and never be audited, there's nothing you can't accomplish. But there's no white identity here, right? There no longer is going to be a French identity. There's no longer going to be a Swedish identity. And but there's surely going to be an Israeli and Jewish identity.
Peter, I got to put you on hold.
What's that?
Peter, I got to put you on hold. I'm sorry. We got to take another break for commercials. And I guess we're going to skip the break here. So, Peter, we're skipping the break. So, Peter, please continue.
Well, so they're allowing these people in the United States to basically the only fundamental opposition to these bankers taking over everything, which they already have, really, is the educated European American in North America and in Europe, high standard of living, all that kind of thing. They're trying to absolutely do away with them through the Great Replacement and so on and so forth. And then, and I look upon this, by the way, one of the reasons why they seem to hate Trump so much is because he's a populist. And I love how the pandemic, quote, plays into a populist. You look at the crowds that Trump draws versus, you know, the 10 or 11 people that show up for Biden. And they, you know, the whole thing about assembly is there to hinder a populist. The last thing they want is the will of the people or the people express. They want to control everything, like Glenn Greenwald was talking about. They control the press. They control everything. So this is it's a fundamental thing. And I also say that they're getting, as I've said before, every day that there's a lockdown goes on, the people who can print money out of nothing are going to buy all the businesses that won't come back and can't come back. They'll buy them up for 10 cents on the dollar. And they'll have those, just like they've already bought up, basically all publicly held companies, and they now control them. And the more that lockdown goes, the more of the private companies that aren't on the stock exchange, they'll be able to buy them back as well. And all the real estate that will be thrown out of our homes for, they'll buy that as well. And that's what's going on. And listen, I know there's other callers. You still got 8 minutes. That's it for me, Mike.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot for the phone call, Peter. We're going to go to Charles in St. Petersburg. Hello, Charles. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I was going to talk about Islamic things first, but later, have you ever heard on BitChute, you know, BitChute?
Yeah.
They have the stuff that YouTube's taken off. It's they talk about the COVID-19. Have you ever seen the one called COVID-19, the musical? That's a good one.
Yes.
Look that up. It's a really funny show. Well, it was a pandemic, not a pandemic. And Vernon Coleman, he's an Englishman. He really sums up the case. And Irish doctor Ivor Cummins, Cumminis. He shows how there's never been any real isolation of the so-called virus. It doesn't exist. He said he's gone through copious records in England and the British Isles and Ireland. They admit there's never been an isolation, so no proof that it even exists, that the COVID-19 virus even exists. And what you were and your lady Claire were talking about, it, about Islam, you've got to remember the two words in Arabic, the two phrases, Dar al-Islam, Dar al-Harb. Outside of Islam is the house of struggle. inside Islam, is Islam means submission.
Yes,
it's not correct to say that Europeans started the Crusades. It took hundreds of years of Muslim occupation of Europe, of most of Spain, until at least 1200 was under Muslim control. Large sections of Italy, southern Italy, and Sicily were controlled by Muslims for two centuries. And it took till 1100 when the first Crusades started. Europeans have been very put up with this, where the Mediterranean was made into a Muslim lake. People risk their necks even going down to the sea to get captured by Islamic pirates. It's Dar el Harb, H-A-R-B, means house of struggle. Joseph Campbell has that in one of his books. Remember that about Islam. Islam means submission. House of submission, house of struggle. And that's mainly what I wanted to say. Sign off.
All right. Well, Charles, thank you very much for the phone call.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're coming up here on the end of our show. We got like about 2 minutes left. Is there something that you want to say?
Yes, I do. Please vote. Vote your conscience. Vote your awareness of the revelations that we've been seeing. And please, this coming couple of weeks, be kind to each other. Very, very kind. We are all under a lot of stress, pressure. A lot of stuff is going on. And if you are so inclined, I think this would not be a bad time to start praying for this country.
Okay. And for you parents who are taking your kids out trick-or-treating, and mm-hmm. we see this every Halloween, be sure and inspect and check all the treats that your children bring home.
Amen.
There are some very twisted people out there who like mm-hmm. to do things like put pins inside of candy. So, you know, please be very, very cautious here. Around here, people are trick-or-treating only with their relatives and known friends. Not that that would be a problem here in this neighborhood.
No.
These are really cool people around
they
here.
Are.
They really are. Don't forget, over the weekend, Saturday night, to set your clocks back 1 hour. It's the end of daylight savings time. And we should be hearing our exit music here pretty soon. So, nope, not quite yet. There it is. All right. So have happy Halloween. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please watch carefully what's going on with the Biden scandals. Email, Skype, and Zoom these discussions with your friends, because Google, Facebook, and Twitter can't block you from doing that. And we'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.